Welcome to Fabulous After 50, the podcast for women wanting to make the most of their lives. My name is Julie Kennedy, and I am your host. Today, I am joined by Kimberly Bosman, an English filmmaker and photographer based in Leiden, the Netherlands. Though not yet, and actually very far from being a member of our Fabulous After 50 tribe, Kimberly has just launched a YouTube channel and podcast called Unsaid, which certainly caught my interest. It sounded like something which would be quite liberating to our Fabulous After 50 tribe. I will let her explain some more about that. Welcome, Kimberly. So thank you for being here. Maybe we can just start with a brief summary of who you are, what you do, and why you do it, and then we'll move on to the core of the matter. Go ahead.
We were talking before we started recording that, you know, it's all about your previous life that kind of gets you to the point where you are now. And I definitely feel, you know, a lot of things I've done has led me up to this point to start Unsaid. And from a very young age, I was an expat. I left my home country, England, at 18 and moved around a lot. And I think building connections and being with people was a big part of my life in many different countries. You know, I've lived in France and Spain, and my mum lives in Australia. So I've been backwards and forwards to Australia. So I feel like I've got a good kind of, I call myself internationally British. You know,
That's a lovely way to put it.
Yeah, I definitely have an international mindset, and I think I end up connecting with a lot of people who are international. But it dawned on me, you know, a few months ago, before I decided to start the project, that a lot of people that I have met all have struggles. We all have a past, you know, and it was important for me. I'm also working at the British school at the moment in Voorschoten, here in Holland, and it was very important for me that I start kind of bringing that veil down from what you initially see when you first meet someone. And I think a lot of people struggle to be completely who they are and completely honest in front of their colleagues, in front of people they first meet. And it actually ends up having kind of an opposite effect from what you want when you socialize. You want to be connected to people. You want to have that good relationship, that good connection with people. And because we tend to not be able to show everything, and we tend to not be able to, you know, keep a lot of things to our chest, we end up having that opposite effect. And, you know, we're looking at each other like, are they judging me? Am I judging them? And I've been through some of my own things. So I left England when I was 18 and like I said, traveled around a lot and being on my own a lot. I started later on in life, you know, experiencing some anxiety. And I also suffer with dyslexia. And whilst I had, you know, I've had a very good career in different roles as well as a hotel manager quite early on at age 22. I did a degree in photojournalism. I've worked for Greenpeace and a few other charities here in Holland. I still, with my dyslexia, was very embarrassed. I wouldn't talk to people about it. I was very ashamed. And actually that ended up having a negative effect on me when I went to work for Greenpeace. I didn't talk to them about it. And I ended up having a really bad experience because of it. And I think for me, it's really important that we let our guards down and that we're honest with ourselves first and foremost, but we're also honest with other people. And I wanted to create Unsaid to give people a platform to, you know, heal by talking about their own issues, but also for it to be empowering for others to realize actually these other people are also going through it. You know, I think everyone I've spoken to in my life all have had an issue somewhere or another. It's on a certain spectrum. Maybe it's, you know, you have a, you know, not necessarily all awful, but definitely people have their struggles. And I think
I think one thing I congratulate you with the most as well is that you seem those are the sort of insights that I at 50 plus am getting to of the actual the huge liberation of actually being honest about who you are. You know, the stress of actually having to hide things that we're ashamed of is a lot worse than the thing itself. And little by little, you realize that nobody's perfect, that there are all some things which we're good at. I mean, we're going to get into exactly what you're covering in a moment, but that is exactly the reason why I thought you would be a very valuable guest for this, you know, group of 50 plus, because as you say, we all carry stuff with us. We are all the result of what went before, whether good or whether bad. And as we were talking together, I actually met Kimberly about 8 years ago when she was working as a photographer. And I was president of the Women's Business Initiative International in The Hague. And she did a lot of work for us, extremely good work, I must say. But I mean, we all, you know, learn, we think we know where we're going, and then suddenly we end up going somewhere else. And it takes a lot of strength, and there's no failure in that. So our bad experiences are usually the ones which give us the most insights about, you know, where we do need to go, or certainly where we shouldn't be going anymore, but let's put it that way. So basically, to get to today and this idea of Unsaid, so okay, so I understand that this was basically, it started off as something that you personally felt, that you personally, through your life experience, even though you're so young, realized that you were carrying lots of unsaid things which were making you anxious and which were holding you back from blossoming and being you and being happy in everything you do. Now, do I understand well that basically when we're talking about unsaid, you're talking about two things, if I've understood, and of course do correct me. One is basically speaking out about taboo topics, you know, topics which society prefers to leave unsaid because they are, yeah, they can instigate conflicts or because they're very linked to values or beliefs, etc. And then on the other hand, you're talking more on a personal, individual level of things which we need to say, you know, a bit like you said right now about acknowledging and embracing, you know, looking at the fact that you have dyslexia. This doesn't make you a better person. It doesn't make you a worse person. It's saying, well, this is who I am. You know, some things I do like this, some things I do like that. And that, so not carrying the shame or the fear with it. So is that how you see what you are doing with Unsaid?
Yes, definitely. So it's, yeah, you've explained it very well. So having people come on, you know, the first person who's spoken for Unsaid, lovely guy who's been diagnosed late on in life with ADHD, he was very nervous coming to talk. But once he got talking, you can kind of see that there's a sense of relief, you know, and I think it's very important that we hold it in. Our body, you know, takes note of what we're keeping in, and it's not healthy for us to hold on to all of those secrets and things that you feel shame of. And we're social animals, we're social beings, and we need to support each other. And, you know, we often do the opposite and tend to retreat when we're not feeling well. And if you do reach out to people and say, you know, I'm not feeling good. You know, I need this time, or this has happened to me, and I don't know how to work through it. And you get other people to hold your hand. So even though the internet is, you know, a big place to ask for people to, you know, recognize me and see me, I think it can be very liberating for the people that are coming on. You know, that they're bearing all. You know,
and this is going to be, it's a podcast and a YouTube channel, right?
Yeah, so the idea is that the YouTube channel will be a 10-15 minutes short of the podcast.
Well, sorry, I'll just say for the guests, we're saying will be because we're pre-recording this, but by the time you listen to it, it will...
It's live, yeah. Sorry, yeah, my fault. But yeah, so it will be a 10-15 minutes short. Sometimes it will run over if I feel that the information is important. I'm not going to take it out, but... generally, it will be a shorter version on the video, and then online on the podcast, it'll be a longer format. So if people really want to dive further into the topic, or that they, you know, they want to listen to it out and about, then that's a possibility for them instead of having to watch it online.
Now, so I can understand definitely when we're talking about the individual level, you know, of saying the unsaid, that we will get back to one part out of it. I do also think that probably the intention behind it is also very important, because it's a fine line between liberating ourselves and also hurting maybe unnecessarily others. I mean, I dare say there's a bit of a dilemma there in what we're saying, but I'll get back to that point in another. But my first question to you was going to be, when we talk about it, the people listening in, what would you say, what is your goal there? Why should people listen? Not those who are talking, but the others.
It will be a range of topics. So it will be on mental health, and equality. We'll be starting. So we'll be focusing on a range of different aspects. And I really will be focusing on people who have have experienced it or have a loved one that experiences it. So if they've had it themselves, then they might be able to find comfort in knowing that that person's also going through it.
Yeah, that they're but not if, alone, and that it doesn't mean exactly. that, you know, yeah, they should
But even if you have a partner or a loved one or a friend that has it, then it's also a way to find more information about maybe what they're going through. But on a personal, you know, a personal level, a lot of the times when you Google things, you get stuff from the NHS, which is, you know, the healthcare in England, yes. or and it's very formal. And yes. I think that takes a human element out of it. And I think it's nice to get someone to tell you, we're feeling like this. If we have that, you know, I have a friend who's recently being diagnosed with PCOS, and I don't know, when you have cysts on your ovaries, and she's having a lot of different experiences, and I don't know anything about it.
Yeah. And that's indeed one of those topics that you don't walk around saying, oh, poor me, you know, I've got tendinitis, that you can right. talk about it with people and get comfort. You don't tend to walk around and say that sort of thing, whereas she must no. be, because of the people not talking about it, she must probably be even more in distress yeah. and even more in the dark.
And it's had other health issues affect her because of it. And it can be seen externally, and she mentally is getting quite upset about it. So I think for me as a friend, I also want to know, you know, how is it affecting you? Not, you know, and how does it affect other people, and get more yeah. of an insight. So the audience would be to people who are interested in the topic, maybe because your friend has it or you have it or something that you think should be, you know, spoken about more. Even teachers who are in learning support, you know, they could maybe yeah. get a better feeling. A lot of my people who are coming on, you know, ranging between 20 and 65, so there is a big age range there.
I see you're also teams. You know, sort of, so some of them are very sort of medical, like you've just said, or even very medical in the mental arena, but you're also addressing mainstream but slightly taboo areas. Like, I may as well say it here. I've been invited already to talk about age and right. aging, and how that affects how, you know, from a society point of view. So how you feel, you know, as a 50 yeah. plus or whatever person yeah. in yeah. society.
And so I'm the sort of person who has a lot of friends that are in different age groups as well. You know, I've got two very close friends in Holland that are in the older age bracket. And they will often talk to me about these things. You know, I'm yes. finding it difficult to change job. And you know, as a close friend, they'll talk to me. But in society, it's still kind of very yes. swept under the
and
rug.
And that's exactly the point of my podcast. That's exactly what I want to look at as well. Yeah. And that is that sort of tribe feeling, that you're not alone in that, you know, to get some practical tips, but more that sort of support that, yeah, we know what it's like. And it doesn't mean that you're useless. It doesn't mean that your career's over.
No.
Etc. Now, so we're talking about the personal value of indeed saying the unsaid and letting out and embracing all of who we are, not carrying all of these huge shadows around with us the whole time. Now, what about the moments when, you know, what if saying something is going to, you know, affect somebody else in a way which can't be changed anymore? Should one still say it?
Yeah, it's very difficult, and it is a tricky topic. And I'm often, you know, looking over how I'm wording things, and the internet can be an awful place. So I'm really trying to tread lightly, and I don't want people to get offended by what unsaid are bringing forward.
And you don't want it to be like a personal mudslinging. You know, I'm thinking, you know, some of those, I don't even know if it's Oprah, but, you know, some of those programs, I'm not a TV person, but, you know, where you sort of invite in the person who's wronged you, and, you know, exactly. in front of millions of people, throw yeah. all the mud around. And I think, well, you know, who actually gains from that? You know, revenge is not something which is going to make you feel no. happy, nor is shaming yeah. somebody else.
It's very much about their personal experience.
Right.
And, you know, maybe some things I might even end up cutting out if I feel like it is encroaching on someone else's story, because it's very, I very much want it from their point of view.
Yes,
from
exactly.
their experience and from how they've lived it. So I don't think that we can really, you know, criticize someone if they've lived that way. That's what they've experienced through, you know, I'm having a girl come on talk about bulimia. So if she speaks about bulimia and her experiences, like you can't really say, oh, that's not right, and you can't really say that because that's her experience. Yeah. So it's really focusing on
their personal story. I meant more hurting people. You know, I'm busy thinking, you know, okay, unsaid. I mean, I'm just imagining an example now. You know, somebody who's been abused maybe by somebody.
It could be a trigger. Yeah, it could be a trigger, definitely. And we have someone coming on talking about PTSD from being an army veteran. And yeah, it can be maybe a trigger for people. So,
but I suppose as long as you don't name the other party, you know, as you say, it's all about the person who's speaking. So if the person is speaking wants to talk about this horrible secret that they've been living with all their lives, that they've been abused by person X, they don't need to say who person X is. It's about them. You know, as a coach, I used to often have clients, you know, write a letter to whoever the person was, not particularly with the view of sending it, but more of them wording how they managed to distance themselves from the bad experience.
Exactly.
And to see that they had a choice to not make it be part of their identity. Yes, it was something which had happened to them, and sadly, there was no way of undoing that.
Right.
But how they looked at it and how much of it they still carried with them, apart from, you know, the pain, obviously, and the fear, that does stay. Right, now, so if we talk about, indeed, so the power, the liberating effect of unsaid, and in my program, I always try to say, let's share three tips that people can implement straight away. So that's, you know, what would you say? What would you share?
So the first thing that I was thinking of when you had mentioned this previously was a quote that came to me, and it's exchanging short-term discomfort for long-term dysfunction. So even though often we don't want to go into the pain of talking about things of stirring up the mud, if you will, it's often will help in the long run, and it will, you know, we will support the dysfunction and help that to mold and change and grow. And the only way you can do that is by starting to have conversations and shedding light on the situations.
So it's not fleeing it. It's not putting it away in a box in a corner, etc. It's actually sort of naming it, right? It's actually knowing that it will bring it up, but it's not bringing it up to delve again in the why me and how and the what, etc. It's about shining a light on it, I suppose.
And I think accepting sometimes that things can be painful. It can be painful, you know, to say to my husband, look, you're not doing this right and you're not doing that right. But at the end of the day, if that person doesn't feel happy with what's happening, it's better to communicate and talk about it and then change it at the end. And there's, you know, we're seeing it now with Black Lives Matter. You know, it's uncomfortable to watch. You know, it's not nice to see all these riots and things, but we want to create change. And the only way we do that is standing up and you know,
naming it. Yeah,
naming it. And it's, you know, the same with unsaid. It's a platform for people to start standing up and talking about some of these things, unrepresented topics.
So as you've just said now, just the general value of communication, whether it's, you know, you brought up an example of your spouse. Mm. And again, I mean, again, what comes to me sort of more as a communication specialist, it's not even so much what we say, it's how we say it.
That's true.
And so indeed, if we're sharing with an intention of making something better for both of us, or even drawing attention, I mean, we know all about spouses who don't pick up on the signals like we would as women, you know, about sort of, and they're often very surprised, though, I had no idea you felt that way about it, or that it made you feel insecure, etc.
Yeah.
So it's having the honesty to say it, but to say it with an intention, not of destroying, of humiliating somebody else. So that's a very good first tip.
And it's work as well. You know, you need to work at it. You need to work at communication. You need to work at bravery, having the bravery to stand up. Some people are terrified to, you know, stand up and say it, but it will in the long run. Yeah, it will in the long run help you and you know, it will guide you. And
yeah, and my experience is also that they're often terrified of how the other person is going to react to it. Whereas at the same time, I mean, I'm a big believer in feedback. You know, we can't get angry at people for doing things in a way which doesn't feel good to us if we don't communicate that. We always assume that everybody sees everything the same way we do, which is so very, very far from right.
And that leads me to my second point, which is, you know, seeking a therapist or seeking someone or a coach to give you those tools, because it's a learning experience. You have to teach yourself. You don't we're not born, unfortunately, with these tools, and we've been very clever to figure out how to, you know, work with these tools and manage them. But often we're not taught how to communicate well, or and I think it's something that we all need to work on is and do that with a therapist who can also work through your problems but also give you tools, or you can do it with a coach, or you can go to joint workshops even about communication. So there's a lot of ways that you can start,
and that
doing
again
it.
Is to do with not being ashamed of it, or not being, you know, I mean, I remember years back I had a little session where I was also seeing a psychiatrist or psychologist, but I remember I fought it for years, saying to, but there's nothing really wrong with me, I haven't really had a trauma, or this is good for people who've really suffered something bad, but not for just me and all my mixed wires up there. Whereas the thing is, at the end of the day, is if you are going around with messed up wires, like we say, is that you're hurting yourself and you're not living a happy life, but the chances are also big that you're also hurting those around you.
Exactly.
Because you're not reacting to things. And to be honest, at the end, the reason that I did go was because I realized that I was not being, resourceful for the people around me. So I think that that's a very good point, is to not have qualms to go and seek help. It's not anything to be ashamed of, even if it's something that we all think is too little to talk about or whatsoever. It's that from the point of view that it affects you and holds you back from being all that you can be.
And I think that's a great point what you said as well. It strengthens your relationships with others, with your in my case, my daughter and my husband, my mother and other people around me. It's actually made my relationship stronger because I've been able to look within me what is festering, what's harboring. And everyone, I mean, like you said, I'm only 35, but everyone has lots of experiences previously, and no matter how minor these traumas have been, they're still going to, if you've not spoken about them and released them and dealt with them, they're going to build up. And I think if you want to be the happiest version of yourself, I think that's definitely my second tip, is seeking help.
And indeed, as you said, it's all about that, opening up to others. And it's from a position of love, not from a position of pain. And to be honest, it broadens our horizon, because I know if we're talking about just, like say with our partners or whatsoever, the number of discussions once I got to that stage of being honest, of seeing it as a win-win for both of us, and learned how to word it in a way which wasn't, putting down the other person out of anger, is that it also tremendously broadens your horizon. We tend to judge, if it's not done our way, then it's wrong. But it's very interesting to actually ask somebody, how did you get to? I had an example yesterday, something very silly, but I sort of thought, it hurt me, and I thought, well, okay, I have a choice. I can either go and sulk and, crash around some pans in the kitchen, or I can sort of say, it's strange that you say that. And I did. So I did that. And it was absolutely not what I thought. And I sort of said, well, how on earth did you get at comparing this with me, for example? And he said, oh, but I didn't mean it that way. I just meant that. And then it was more from a position of curiosity. I said, how did you get there? And I recognized that his meaning had not been at all to hurt me.
Malicious.
And
right.
I was also reacting, triggered by loads of things from the past, as we do. And that once we take all of that noise away and not respond so fast to things, then so indeed, naming it, seeking help. And what would we do for a third tip for our audience?
I think being honest with yourself, definitely, being able to, stand up and being honest, not just for yourself, but also for others around you, that they're trying to think of a good example.
Well, even look at your dyslexia example was a good one.
Right, yeah. Yeah,
to have the courage to say, okay, I am dyslexic. That's how it is. Some people see it as a wonderful side because it's a different way of using the brain.
And also, but if you're in a social setting, I have people, friends of friends that are still around me that might say things that are inappropriate. And I think often you'll kind of laugh it off, or you'll be, because you don't want to be that person that's annoying or standing out. But I think, even joking about the topics that shouldn't be joked about, even though you kind of make excuses for that person. Oh, they're just my friend, it's fine. They're just having a little laugh, And it's not fine. We're still saying it's okay to, you know, be sexist, racist, whatever it is the joke has been about. And it's not about that. It's about knowing that these things will hurt someone. And and maybe that person hasn't spoken up in that group that they've suffered with an eating disorder and, you know, they're fat shaming, for example. Yep. And it's about not saying those things that could hurt someone on a personal level.
What would you do then? Would you then say sort of jokingly or in a friendly, respectful way to the person, well, you know, I don't really think that's you should be saying this?
I'm still working on that myself, actually.
That's a good point.
I'm still trying to hold myself in those situations. Right. And because it still is difficult for me when I'm with certain people, but I think it's important that we all start trying to be the person that speaks up. And you know, I had done it recently and I did feel like I had more backlash because of it. And and you do become the difficult person. But
there again, if it's done from a position of curiosity, you know, to say, oh, okay, you know, what makes you think that? I mean, my sort of, with all my huge years of wisdom, of course, have been that we often make fun about things which frighten us the most, you know? So, I mean, I often think that people who have very radical ideas, you know, we're talking about racism, sexism, as you've just said, it often hides a sort of fear. You know, I remember, you know, all the big things after the war as well about the idea of knowing each other's culture, understanding, so that it's, you know, we tend to blame and attack those that we fear. So it's also about just opening the conversation, I suppose. Yes, it is provocative if somebody says something whatsoever and you sort of say, oh, you know, why would you think that? Or what would you think would be different in that person? You know, why would, you know, black people then all be like this? You know, to just basically open the question.
Yeah, I've definitely found that for some people, I found it more comfortable, you know, to be able to raise that question. And other people, always people that are maybe a bit more further distant, you know, in relationship, I've always found it a little bit harder the further away they get from me.
True. Of course. But it's easier to just sort of, you know, walk off and speak to somebody else, right?
But I think I think we need to be also brave and stand up for what we think is right. And I'm working on that definitely for myself.
Well, I think we all do, but I think this has been a really, thank you, Kimberly, because this has been a really interesting conversation. Now, so first of all, before we say goodbye, thank you for these three tips, and I will of course be repeating them at the end in my bit. How can people, how will people find Unsaid?
So we're online. We're all online, so they can find me under Unsaid on YouTube, and then it's Unsaid Conversation on Instagram. So people are welcome to come over and comment and have conversations with each other, even about the topic and about what they're going through. So I really want to kind of create that community feel. And then if they do want to come on to the podcast, they can find me under my website, which is kimberlybossman.com. And on there, they can just go to the contact form and send me an email if they feel that they have a burning topic that they would like to get off their chest and let other people hear about.
And of course all your details will be on the information, which will be on my website around the podcast. Thank you very much, Kimberly.
Thank you. Good luck. I really enjoyed
it. Unsaid. And I must say I think you're onto something very powerful here. Right. So now, as usual, it's up to the rest of you we've listened to this amazing young lady and her insights on the unsaid and how it can help us be happier and make the world a better place. So as usual, my question to you is threefold. It's basically, you know, what have you learned? And really incubate that, really let it germinate. What will you change when we're talking about the unsaid and the power of the unsaid? And when will you start? That's all for me this week. I wish you a very lovely week ahead and look forward to seeing you at the next episode. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening. Now it is up to you to make it happen. Join me next week for another dose of empowering vitamins as we navigate the marvelous roller coaster we call life. Subscribe and let me know what you think we should be talking about. Take care out there.